This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 13th of October, 2017. Time to go and walk under some ladders. I'm Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we're broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live radio studio in the showroom workstation building in the centre of Sheffield. This programme will also go out as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website and talking podcasts. If you missed last week's live chocolate taste test with bullion chocolate founder Max Scotford, then panic not. It's up on the Sheffield Live website at sheffieldlive.org. Look up radio shows, find Business Live, find the programme from last week, the 6th of October, and you'll be able to listen to us tasting Max's bean to bar chocolate. It was delicious. It tastes great. It should taste great as well. And we had a 30-minute interview with Max talking about how he's started up his business, which is located in Kelham Island, and now he's selling chocolate in independent restaurants throughout the city and in Harvey Nichols in Leeds too. So how's he got to where he's got to? Well, listen to last week's show to find out. But that was then, this is now. What's coming up today? Well, really pleased to welcome Penny Raven and Johnny Douglas back to the Sheffield Live radio studio once more. We'll be talking with Penny and Johnny in a moment or two. Also on the programme today, Rob Lawson, Sheffield Mind. Plus, we have Tom Sutton of the Sheffield Chamber of Commerce coming in later on. So, a packed show. Before we turn to our guest, what is going on this week? Well, business groups this week on World Mental Health Day, business groups called for more to be done to help employers to tackle mental health issues in the workplace. And a report was published this week by Business in the Community. That report demonstrated that only 11% of people feel able to disclose a mental health issue to their line manager, whilst half of line managers said they would welcome training on the issue. So new guidance came out as well this week to mark World Mental Health Day, which took place on Tuesday. And the guidance was published by ACAS. That includes advice on spotting the signs of mental ill health, talking to a team member who may be experiencing mental ill health, supporting team members and helping team members return to work. And the Federation of Small Businesses called this week also for an end to the silence on mental health in the workplace. They're urging government to work with small businesses and to work with the self-employed. And I know we have lots of self-employed listeners to this radio show to tackle the impact of mental health issues at work. Much of the available help isn't tailored for small and medium-sized businesses and micro-enterprises, according to the Federation of Small Businesses. They themselves, FSB, have a medical and health advice service, and that's seen double the number of small business owners and self-employed seeking advice on mental health conditions like work-related stress, anxiety and depression. And Mike Cherry, who's the national chairman at FSB, said that for small business owners and for the self-employed, poor mental health can significantly affect day-to-day running of their business, whilst also damaging their health, and that can impact well-being and mental health of their employees too. He also added that mental health conditions are often seen as being a silent problem, with employees not feeling able to open up and to talk about what they're experiencing. And he said there's a collective responsibility between business owners, between employees, between government and society as a whole to tackle the stigma associated with mental health and speak more openly about it. FSB have put out a guide themselves called Wellbeing in Small Business, and that gives ideas to business owners and to the self-employed on better managing wellbeing and that of your employees. Now, as well as World Mental Health Day, it's Sheffield Mental Health Week this week, and there's been a programme of events to promote awareness of mental health issues and the services that exist in Sheffield to support people in need. There's a pop-up info stall at Moore Market that's been running from Monday through till Saturday tomorrow, and I dropped down there yesterday to have a word with Rob Lawson of Sheffield mind. We'll play an interview with Rob in a few minutes later on in the show. Plenty of other events going on as part of Sheffield Mental Health Week. You can take a look at Sheffield Mental Health Week on Facebook to see the entire programme. But I think it's time to turn to our studio guests, our first studio guest today. And as I said earlier, I'm really pleased that Penny Raven and Johnny Douglas are back in the Sheffield Live studio with us today. So good morning, Penny, and morning, Johnny.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks so much for coming in today. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Been getting over this horrible thing that's been going around for a couple of weeks, but so excuse the croaks.
Oh, I had a dreadful croak 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
I listened back to the podcast with even more horror than I normally hear my own voice. But I'm glad you're starting to feel better. Johnny, has this caught up with you yet?
No, I've been skirting the fringe of it, surviving, getting a bit low on energy at points, but not contracting.
No, okay. Fingers crossed then, indeed. So you are, if you like, polymaths, modern eclectics. How best to describe you? Sheffield Sue, Petra Kucha, and much, much more. And I've brought you into the studio today to talk about plenty of things that are going on. But first thing, Penny, you've got a background in corporate sector as well before getting so involved in social enterprise and community activities in Sheffield. And employee wellbeing has been a passion that you've long had a commitment to.
I would say in latter years, yes. In earlier years, it was very much an unspoken about thing. And people used to want to willingly hide or disguise their mental health issues through fear of what might happen at work. And I'm pleased to say that from about probably the last half of my corporate career, it then started to get a lot more progressive. And now I have a greater understanding from a practical side, because I suffered a big bout of depression when I lost my first business.
Yes.
So all of a sudden that gave me incredible empathy and more understanding how to deal with it in the workplace. So yes, I am now very passionate about it being treated properly in the workplace.
Okay, yes. And so that empathy that you have from going through bouts of depression yourself, well, first of all, was there support available at the time for you?
No.
In a word, indeed. And not only support, understanding as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, completely. And also not knowing that that's what it was for a while, almost in denial. I thought, you know, depressed people had really bad things happen, and I couldn't regard what had happened to me as a bad thing. I blamed it on myself more than anything. And it wasn't until some stages in that a number of people who did recognise the symptoms said, there's something a bit more going on here. So it was a bit of a shock.
Yes.
And then came the problem of accessing support. So whilst the NHS is wonderful, there are lots of different routes that you need to go down to figure out what support. So they start you with a computer scheme, a logging on internet support scheme. They then enrol you for different things, but the waiting lists are huge. Now, of course, if that's the level of support you're getting for your medical needs, that has a knock-on impact on your work needs, because you're being signed off for work longer because you're not getting access to the support that you need. It's a complex muddle. So I think there is a role that employers may be able to take a bit of a proactive stance to help their employees that have been signed off.
Okay, so for employers, a proactive stance. And you said to help their employees who have been signed off, and I certainly agree that they have a role to play. But there's probably a proactive stance in terms of helping their employees so that they don't get into a position or the risk of being in the position of being signed off is significantly reduced as well.
That's so important.
Yeah.
So the preventative measures that employers can take, some of that is just by being aware of what the signs can be for any mental health challenge. So, for example, when someone's perhaps being late on a regular basis, or perhaps not feeling so engaged. You notice differences about them, but you can't quite figure it. We often, from an HR and a business management point of view, forget to think first what else might be going on here, because we become concerned about performance and or absenteeism or tardiness, which that's a really unfair way to look at it. And things are changing. Some employers now do understand that they need to have a more holistic view of that. And then on the prevention side, it's about making sure there's no burnout, that, you know, deadlines are realistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complicated mix.
Sure, it is indeed. And it's a mix that that many employers struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
And not only when it comes to looking after their employees, and there is a pure business case if people want to see it only in those terms, in terms of retention of good employees as well. But people don't struggle with it only necessarily in terms of looking after staff. They struggle with it themselves as business owners and self-employed people. We've just heard the FSB commentary at the start of the show today. You talked about your own experiences as a business owner. And people who want to do the right thing by their staff, by their small business, but also they are perhaps feeling the buck stops with them, the responsibility stops with them. You've been through this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you offer any advice for business owners?
Yeah, first of all, they need to take good care of themselves, which is so much easier said than done.
Yeah.
So techniques like pacing work well, mindfulness, which I really balked at the idea to start with, but absolutely is, it gives me my clear thinking when I need it. The other thing is,
there's a lot of this coughing going around.
Yeah, I'm really trying hard not to. So the other thing is that it's really safe. It does really well to let the employees know that you're good with mental health, that if there are any challenges, that you'll take the supportive stance.
Yes. So be open.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, Johnny.
I think it's also probably worth putting the reality into context, really, because especially when it comes to sort of enterprise and entrepreneurship, we're always kind of given the success stories and what success looks like and the way that we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to behave and how life is supposed to progress and all these things that happen when you run a business. And we only ever hear kind of the success sides of the story, and actually what we're not told, unless you know the people personally, is actually the endless struggle that you constantly go through and the constant pressure you're under and the constant stress that you're under, because yes. There's almost like a desire to portray this success outward kind of perspective to the rest of the world, whereas actually the reality of what is going on behind the scenes is really, really tough. So therefore we find ourselves comparing ourselves to the success story or the illusion portrayal of the success story and not the reality. And therefore, I think we're a lot harder on ourselves when making that comparison all of the time.
Yes, we are, aren't we? And that that tendency of humans to make that comparison, but to only see the positives that are being portrayed. As you say, there's an illusion there anyway. And we hear things like from very successful people saying, well, I worked really, really hard, so anyone can work really, really hard and get what I have. But the people who worked really, really hard, but their businesses failed, aren't on the stage in the first place. And so it can put enormous pressure, or it can mean that business owners put enormous pressure on themselves. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
And that has obviously a knock-on effect on families and other halves and stuff like that. And it's this kind of running a business and being awash with cash and very, very rarely the truth.
Acquired.
And normally you're kind of pillar to posts, kind of hand to mouth, surviving, making sure you've got money for the rent or whatever you're doing, but kind of balancing up everything else. And there's a lot of stress within that.
Yes, there is. And so I suppose, acknowledgement from organisations that represent businesses and from business owners themselves and social entrepreneurs that actually it is very, very difficult, can be very, very difficult for themselves as well as for their team, for their staff is crucial.
Yeah, and it has dire consequences. Obviously, we hear lots of things about health and needing to take care of better of ourselves and different diseases we have. The biggest killer in the UK for men under the age of 45 is suicide.
It's suicide, indeed. Yeah, indeed. This is a horrifying stat. You both, Johnny, Penny, are very involved with Sheffield Soup, and we've talked about Sheffield Soup on the programme many times. Real-time community crowdfunding. Anyone can put forward an idea. It can be an idea for a community project, for a social enterprise, for a charity, or for a business that you want to start. It can be anything. It needs to be in Sheffield. And a community vote for four people to then pitch on the night. And four people do so. Anyone can go down to Sheffield Soup, pay a fiver to get in. All that money goes into a pot, and the winner takes it away and does what they want to do, a project. So I understand that, is it Soup 7? It's I'm losing count, actually.
Yeah. 12.
12. Soup 12. And you've had in the past some really interesting applications from people who are concerned about and want to do something about well-being and stress and mental health and so on. Is there anything that you can mention?
Yeah, there's... so actually a few of the winners, yeah. Johnny might need to take over in a minute. A few of the winners have actually been support about around mental health. So one winning project was the Rainbow Heron Night Cafe that was inspired by the mother of a daughter that had real terrible haunting over a long period of time, bouts of depression.
Yes.
And whilst it's not known how she died, her mum believes it was to do with her own mental health.
Nice.
So she set up this beautiful cafe because there's nothing for people to do. So apparently sleeplessness is one of the conditions, ailments, if you like. So when there's nothing to do other than go to a pub or something in the middle of the night, that's not what people want to be doing. So she set up an art cafe.
That's
a bit of a sanctuary and support so people can share and talk about what's going on.
Yes.
Johnny, if you could take over about a couple of the others, please.
Yeah, I mean, that was Soup number 7 that won that time. But, I mean, we've had a lot of people that kind of pitch initiatives that provide that support and that kind of relief. The one that won this time, Sparkle, that was Victoria.
Oh, that was awesome.
One of the kind of gaps that they've seen is for siblings of other siblings with autism and the actual knock-on effects. And obviously, autism's still kind of evolving in the support networks for that. And there's a certain degree of provision for supporting the parents. But actually, they've identified that there's a huge gap for the support of the other brother or sister that doesn't have autism and the knock-on effect for them. And I think a lot of the time, all of this stuff boils down to people ending up being isolated and having to cope with things by themselves.
Right.
I think that the hardest time it sort of gets to is when it becomes overwhelming in the fact that you can't balance the cause and effect. You feel a certain way and you kind of look at what's happening in your life and the things that might cause that don't add up to the same amount that you're feeling, and the feelings are so much kind of more powerful, but you can't equate them to anything. And it's the kind of difference between those two things that almost emphasises that uncertainty and pushes even further. And I think we can all very easily sort of end up in that position. And we've had lots of people kind of find ways to support different people in that position. So Soup number 3 was Vanda, who you know well, as will the listeners, who did the Soupworks, which is image consultancy and support for people that are down on their luck, helping them get the support when they need it to get back into work.
Yes, and then the provision of, boosting in confidence and giving people a suit to go to an interview with is a sort of physical, tangible thing that they can see, but alongside that, there's a sort of support, mentoring and confidence boost as well. So, yeah, so Soup has a long track record of supporting winners, Soup winners, who want to do something about wellbeing.
But interestingly, I had a look through the archives of all of the applications, so even ones that haven't quite got through. It's a huge proportion of the applications that are around supporting individual groups that are affected by mental health.
Yes.
Which is quite interesting to look at it from that point of view.
Yes, it is, isn't it? It sort of speaks to needs that are still not being fully met. I mean, despite the emergence of well-being apps, perhaps more people talking about this, they're perhaps scratching the surface of tip of the iceberg of a deeper problem. So Soup has got various initiatives going. Soup itself is becoming an enormous entity and spreading further afield. Well, watch this space, really, because I think we should do more on that. You've got Petra Kucha coming up, another project that Penny, Johnny, you're both involved with next week.
Yesterday, Thursday the 19th.
What's the theme?
So the theme this time, we're working with Gabrielle and Annalisa for Melanin Festival for Black History Month, and the theme this time is Made by History.
Yeah. Tickets still available?
They are indeed.
So people can book them. Well, follow you on Twitter, first of all. You don't have to be a Twitter user yourself to find you on Twitter, and then you can follow the links through to the site. PKN Chef Twitter?
It is indeed, yeah. PKN Chef, which is a lot easier to spell than actual Petra Kucha, which is PECHAKUCHA.
I will tweet the link out as well.
Maybe if you have the voice input for your phone, you can have some fun trying to get it to find Petra Kucha.
Oh, yes. Indeed. Good stuff. Okay, well, I must thank Penny and Johnny for coming into the studio today. It's been great to welcome you here once again. Thanks for describing some of the Soup winners and their commitment to well-being. And as I mentioned at the start of the show today, it's Sheffield Mental Health Week, and it's been World Mental Health Day today. So, Penny, Johnny, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
A pleasure as always.
And this is Business Live with me, Jamie Veitch, on Sheffield Live. Earlier on in the week, yesterday, I popped down to Moor Market to catch up with Sheffield Mind. They're involved with Sheffield Mental Health Week. And Rob Lawson was there running the Moor Market pop-up information stall yesterday. Now, you can go down there. They're open until tomorrow. But I went down there myself, had a chat with Rob to find out about what Sheffield Mind do, what Sheffield Mental Health Week is all about. And what we're going to do is we shall play the interview with Rob now. So, hi, Rob. Thanks very much for talking to me today. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. You're welcome.
Great stuff. So I've popped down to the Moor Market to meet you and to see you on the stand here. Has it been busy? How's it been going?
Overall, I think we've had a good number of people turn up. I mean, it's a bit quiet now because it's gone 4 o'clock. But I think it's been positive. And to be fair, I mean, if it's one person or 100 people, I think, you know, if one person turns up, it's worth us being here.
Well, it certainly is, if you can make a difference and support that person when they need it. Absolutely. And this is part of Sheffield Mental Health Week, and a lot more awareness than there used to be. It seems like the issue of mental health is being destigmatised in the UK compared with how people used to talk about it. It's an issue that affects so many of us, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think in terms of the destigmatisation of it, I think it's helped of late with more high-profile people, so Prince Harry,
yes,
Prince William coming out and talking. I think, in general, the younger generation are grasping it and not being as scared, shall we say, to open up discussion about mental illness. And I think in general, people are making approaches to services, the GP, when something they feel is not quite right. However, we do have a long way to go.
We do still have a long way to go indeed. Now, one thing that we can do is that in the workplace, we can support employees, we can support our colleagues perhaps better. And I mentioned at the start of the show today some new guidance published this week by ACAS to that effect as well. You yourself, you've worked on a wellbeing project in the workplace. Any tips, any guidance that you can offer?
Yeah, I think that, you know, this is not a science. I think that common sense prevails when it comes to keeping well in the workplace. And I mean, in a day and age now where we're getting less money and expecting more productivity, the pressure on frontline workers in whatever field you're working in, it is enormous. I think some of the stuff that we do when we go out to employers, it's generally big employers, is to talk about people getting regular supervisions. So that's a forum once a month, once every 6 weeks, where it's their opportunity to talk about their well-being within the workplace and not to discuss targets and, you know, their performance per se. I think that's one of the practical things to do. The other thing that we encourage employers to do is set up well-being rooms. So these are places where there's a raft of information around keeping mentally well in the workplace or out of the workplace. And it's a place which has got somebody within there, whether that's an employee who has had lived experience of mental illness. And like I said, it's a safe space where people can go within that workplace, find some information, maybe have a chat and open up that dialogue if they feel they might need some support.
Right, so that works really well as a place where people feel comfortable and safe in terms of talking about how they're feeling.
Yes, and I think the emphasis as well is calling it a well-being room rather than a mental health room, because, you know, you've got to walk in that door. And I think if there's a raft of information there about physical exercise, you know, opportunities to get out in countryside walking, whatever it might be, I think that makes it easier for people to access that.
It's true, that, isn't it? I mean, I know that lots of people in a workplace situation or out of the workplace can feel overwhelmed, and lots of people, as you said, are perhaps getting more and more comfortable about talking about that, whether it's the sort of modern interest in what you might call life hacking to deal with sort of everything you've got to do in your life. But it's phrased in a way that perhaps has helped people to address issues, to help people to say, well, this is how I'm feeling. And the phrase well-being, as opposed to mental health, or a well-being room, in terms of getting people to talk about
Because, I mean, mental health's a whole raft of things. It's not just about your brain. I mean, you know, you could argue that everything in life that you come up against that may be negative would impact on your mental health.
Yes.
You know, I think, you know, in reality, life is difficult. At times in your life, you will face hurdles, you will face barriers. I think where it turns into sort of mental health problem is where you're constantly facing them barriers or a lot of them all at once, and it's just too much to cope with.
Yes.
That can lead to you just almost saying, sod it, I can't cope with this. And you sort of, your brain, your body is shutting down, and then you find yourself sort of going in deeper into depression, reducing, you know, the contact you have with people, becoming more and more isolated, stopping paying your bills, stopping going out and socialising, and so, you know, a culmination of all them things leads to a mental health problem.
Yes, indeed.
Rather than, you know, you're getting a big mobile phone bill once a month and having to sort of save an extra few quid that month. You know, we all face them things.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to differentiate between what life is and what a mental health problem is.
That's a really good point. Yeah, that's true. And some people listening might not be fully aware of everything that you do on your project and at Sheffield Mind as well. You have the Wellbeing Centre now. Relatively newly opened, I think. And
We moved in there in end of June, beginning of July. I think, as you know, we can count ourselves lucky, I think, in Sheffield Mind that we are able to move into a purpose-built new building. It's not come cheap. The workers the frontline staff, the trustees, the management at Sheffield Mind, all contributed towards the decorating, and you know, we've all chipped in and done our bit.
Yep.
Because in reality we're skint.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, we would like to tell people that our wellbeing centre is there. People can drop in on a Friday morning for our friendly Fridays, if they feel they want to come and talk to somebody about mental health.
And what time on Friday morning?
It's 10 till 12.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it is 10 till 12. I've got a leaf up behind me somewhere. So, yes, it's 1 till 3. So we're wrong. Yeah, it's 1 till 3.
And Friendly Friday at Sheffield Mind's Wellbeing Centre. This is Sharrow Lane.
It is, it's Sharrow Lane. It's the old Sure Start building.
Yeah.
And it's bang opposite the Tesco.
Right, yes,
other,
indeed.
Other full doglets are available.
Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, so it's easy to find up Sharrow Lane, not far from the city centre either.
No, it's on regular bus routes, so I can't remember which numbers go there, but it is very accessible.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you do come to visit us, we're quite happy to talk to you about what we do in terms of our services.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a brief snapshot now.
Please do, yeah.
So we offer a counselling and therapy service, which is, there's a general counselling and therapy service, and then we've got an over 50s service where we can talk to people, phone people at home and stuff that way. We have the project that I manage, which is called Connect 3, and that is predominantly providing support to people in their own tenancies, to help them sustain that tenancy, and provide practical and emotional support for their mental health. Part of that project also, we have a number of properties around the Sheffield where we would help somebody get back on the property ladder by them residing in one of these properties and receiving support and training how to manage your own tenancy. We have art therapy. We have another service called SRS, which is it stands for Support and Recovery Service. Mm-hmm. And that, again, that's where people have got their own funding to buy support. So they'll buy support from Sheffield Mind in the guise of a key worker.
Yeah.
And that key worker will work with that individual towards their recovery.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they're the main services. However, we do offer other projects such as Springboard Social Cafes. There are five now across the city.
Five?
Yeah. If you go on the Sheffield Mind website, you'll see where and when these are held.
Yeah.
And I can't sing highly enough of these. It's funded by Sheffield City Council, of which, you know, Sheffield City Council are struggling for money, so it's brilliant that they're backing us.
Superb, yeah.
And that is a safe space where people can come, they can take part in activities, but more importantly, they can come there and feel it's normal to have a conversation about mental health.
Yeah.
And like I said, the springboards really do normalise mental illness. Where people can feel comfortable and free to talk about what they want.
And statistics demonstrate that this really does touch everyone throughout society as well. And yet, as you say, people haven't been comfortable talking about it in the past, so having spaces where people know that they can makes a massive difference.
I think there are certain pockets of the communities where people find it easier to talk. I mean, on a personal note and a professional note, I think, you know, getting out to building sites and these places where it's a macho environment, sportsmen, sportswomen, where it's constantly driven by performance, and sort of going back to the buildings, I've got lots of mates who are builders, joiners, and to even when we have a brief discussion about them talking about their mental illness, they just guffaw at me, they just laugh at me as if to say I would never do that because I'd get a P45 and I'd be deemed as weird and weak. So I think in certain industries we've got a long way to go to break down them barriers. And I think, you know, we touched on it earlier about working on projects where we've got employers who are mindful about mental health, and the staff retention is much higher. So, you know, if you speak to your staff and you nip the problem in the bud early doors, you'll find that you'll retain that member of staff. That member of staff will be productive much longer.
Yes.
The alternative to that is people going off long-term sick, never returning back to work, being, you know, ending up basically claiming benefits.
So if you want to look at the pure business case, if that's the only way in which you want to view it, there is a clear business case for people running businesses.
Yes.
And of course, a lot of people who run perhaps their own business, or micro-entrepreneurs or solopreneurs, or people who are freelance, will face overwhelm themselves as well. It's not just a sort of something that applies to employees. Employers themselves,
of course,
might not feel they're able to talk about this so openly. Really interesting, though, what you said there, Robert, as well, about different professions, different sectors as well.
Yes.
So, big message then is that people can drop in on the Friday sessions.
They can drop in, yes.
Yep. People can get in touch, can take a look at the website as well.
Yeah.
You've had some celebrity endorsements as well, which again, Sheffield Mind has this year, which again sort of showcases this. And if you like, in your words, normalises it as well. Who was that?
So Johnny Nelson's become a patron ambassador for us.
Yep.
And you know, if I'm not quite, I think on his website you may find an audio of his story and what brought him to Sheffield Mind and the passion he's got for, in particular for men of an age, because I don't know if your listeners are aware that, you know, 71% of suicides last year were men. It's a bigger killer in men between, I think it's between 30 and 50, don't quote me on that, but it's a bigger killer than cancer is.
Indeed, yeah.
So I think his passion is about raising that awareness, and in particular in the sectors we've talked about, so in boxing, in sportsmen and sportswomen, that it's much better to talk about mental illness. So Johnny's come and done some bits and bobs for us, and long may that continue.
Grand, super. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today, Rob, and let's just end on another call to action. If you want to drop in, Charolaine, you can do, and if you want to get in touch with Rob and with the team at Sheffield Mind, you can find details on the website. Do you want to give out the details, the website address, Rob?
Well, yeah, I mean, just if it's just a Sheffield Mind, if you just Google Sheffield Mind, you'll find it straight away.
Grand.
I think one of the things that I do want to encourage people to do, and it doesn't just have to be for Sheffield Mind, organisations like ours, the charity sector is really struggling at the moment, and in particular for Sheffield Mind, I'd like to put a bit of plug out there that if anybody does want to do some fundraising for us, then you know, I urge you to get in touch, whatever that might be, however small that amount might be, however large it might be, because it will all help go towards us providing and keeping providing the absolutely vital services that we and other organisations deliver.
Great, so please do that, get in touch, support these vital organisations making a difference in Sheffield and beyond. Rob, thanks so much for joining me.
You're
today.
Welcome.
We're open for Business Live.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. It's Friday, it's the 13th of October. That was an interview that I recorded yesterday at the Moor Market with Rob Lawson of Sheffield Mind. I went down there, it's Sheffield Mental Health Week this week, and I had a chat with Rob about why there's a stall at the Moor Market about well-being. And if you've only just tuned in and you've missed that, then panic not. The podcast of today's programme will be up on the Sheffield Live website later on today. Because it's Sheffield Mental Health Week and it's been World Mental Health Day this week as well, on Tuesday, we've been talking about mental health in the workplace. Firstly, in terms of looking after your employees, and secondly, in terms of looking after yourself if you're a business owner, a social entrepreneur, or freelance, self-employed. And the Federation of Small Businesses this week has called for an end to the silence on mental health in the workplace. They've urged the government to work with small businesses and to work with the self-employed to tackle the impact of mental health issues at work. They've also published a guide called Wellbeing in Small Business, giving ideas to business owners and the self-employed on how to better manage your well-being and that of your employees. Also on the show earlier today, Penny Raven and Johnny Douglas have been in the studio and they've been talking about employee well-being and well-being if you're self-employed if you run a business. And again, if you've only just tuned in and you've missed that, then panic not, podcast of today's programme up on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. today. Now, I'm really pleased to welcome another returning guest back to the Sheffield Live studio today. Tom Sutton is here. Tom is the Head of Corporate Partnerships and Membership at Sheffield Chamber of Commerce. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. Pleasure to be back with you again.
Thanks very much for coming in today.
So, thank you.
I've asked you to come in today for a couple of reasons. First of all, the Sheffield Business Awards. Now, I've been merrily plugging the awards earlier on in the year and urging listeners to apply to enter the awards. The shortlist, the finalists, were published this week. It's it looks really exciting.
Absolutely, yeah. So the shortlist went live on Wednesday this week. So we confirmed all the finalists in each individual category. So that is up on the Business Awards website. I mean, obviously, thank you yourself, Jamie, for all the exposure you've given the awards. We'll come on to that a little bit later, I'm sure. But the awards itself, the highest number of applications we've actually received.
Superb. Now, that's really interesting. So last year was a great year for entries. This year, even better.
This year, even better, yeah. I mean, to put that into some kind of context for your listeners, in 2016, we had 109 applications. This year, in 2017, we've received exactly 150 applications.
Right, so a fair increase there.
Absolutely, and makes it a more difficult job for the judges, I'm sure, to go through those 150 applications and decide, obviously, creating a shortlist from there, and obviously, overall, deciding the winner. Certainly a job I wouldn't want to do, Jamie.
Pretty tough, and I know the judging is a rigorous process. It's done really, really well, with a lot of commitment and attention to detail by the judges.
Absolutely, it is. It's an independent panel that are formed of judges, so they're actually the award applications themselves are judged by peers, and that's an important part of the process, you know, to enable that independent nature of judging, I think, very much so.
Okay, great. And so the finalists have now been published, the shortlist has been published, as you say, on Wednesday, Tom, and I noticed, and we've mentioned this on the show a couple of times as well, there are a couple of new award categories this year. Do you want to tell us about those and why you put some new award categories in?
Yeah, absolutely. So probably to give that a little bit of context, the Business Awards is now, isn't it, 16th year.
Yeah. So
every year after the awards, we always evaluate the event. How did it go, both for obviously the shortlisted companies, the winners and the attendees on the night? So we very much, you know, we take that feedback on board as a Chamber of Commerce and say, well, okay, we, you know, the awards, they're always a good evening, but do they still remain business relevant? And that ultimately has to be the question, I think, you know, to keep the credibility of the awards there. And certainly, obviously, the value of winning the award and being shortlisted as well. So this year, what we have done is we've taken that feedback on board. We've looked at the demographic of our membership and Sheffield businesses, and we've tailored what we believe is an award category specific to that of Sheffield business to make it relevant to them.
So that's really interesting. You've come up with categories because of the demographic of the business in Sheffield, of businesses in Sheffield.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. That's a key driver in terms of what, you know, how we've created the new award categories this year.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So people can see the full the shortlist in full on the website. We'll tweet a link out to that. As you say, it's going to be difficult for judges. It's going to be challenging.
It is going to be challenging. I mean, yeah, by all means, your listeners, I would encourage them to take a look at your tweets. They can see the shortlist in full. I mean, you only need to see the caliber of businesses that are there on that shortlist to see, obviously, how hard it was for those judges to create a shortlist from the applications that we've received.
Yeah.
And there's a real blend of businesses in there as well. You know, there's everything from large businesses to small businesses to different sectors. So overall, the applications this year, I think we've achieved what we set out to do as a chamber. We wanted to encourage engagement across the membership as a whole, because as a Chamber of Commerce, as you know, Jamie, we do represent a diverse range of businesses, sectors and sizes.
So that diversity in membership and representation I suppose, evidenced by more applications to the awards and by a growing membership base as well. And by the Chamber itself, understanding the needs of different parts of the business community too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%, Jamie. Yeah.
Okay, great. So the judges have done part one of their job, shortlisting from a huge number of applications. Finalists have been published. Brilliant. See the website for details. I'll tweet the link. Judges will be thinking about the winners, presumably now, between now and the event. And the actual winners are going to be revealed in December.
In December, that's it. So the 7th of December at Ponds Forge, that is the awards ceremony itself that takes place. So, yeah, award winners announced on the evening. Something that, again, you know, even I don't get to know who the award winners are. It is released on the evening, so it's very much a night of anticipation, celebration, commiseration in some respects, obviously, if businesses don't win on the night. But equally, I think it's important to remember the fact that getting shortlisted is such an achievement in its own right, and that shouldn't be taken away. That merit is certainly deserved in that area.
Clearly, indeed, and particularly with the number of great businesses in the city who are applying for the awards, and being shortlisted, being a finalist, will be a great achievement itself. Okay, super. Well, thanks for that, Tom. That's really interesting in terms of the awards. Now, I wanted also to get you into the studio today to talk about an event next week. It's Connect Sheffield. It's next Wednesday. Coming up soon. Looks pretty exciting.
Coming up soon, yeah, it is. The event has really come together now, Connect Sheffield. So this is year one of our conference and exhibition. So I think Sam and I mentioned when we were last on your show, actually, that the membership had been restructured to a service-based offering now. And certainly that conference and exhibition has been designed as a concept. We've brought it through to fruition now. Obviously, delivery on Wednesday next week. And that is all part of the redesign of the membership structure in terms of allowing our premium partners, our patrons, to have a stand to exhibit, to showcase their products, growth level members gaining a 50% discount, and notwithstanding all the entire membership database as well, also having an opportunity to purchase a stand and showcase their products on the day.
So stands presumably are all fully booked as far as exhibition stands are concerned. Now you need to get delegates there as well. And the delegate offering is all about speakers, conference. Tell who's on. What does the program entail?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you a little bit of an overview there, Jamie, because I think that would be very useful for your listeners. So in terms of devising the conference speakers, what we really did was to sit down at the chamber at the start of planning this event and say, right, OK, we need a theme. There's no point in terms of just having speakers at the event and there not being a running theme, business understand why we've done this. So the theme of Connect Sheffield this year is looking forward to Sheffield's future. It's certainly a continuation from the annual dinner event that we hosted back in September, and the investments that are in the media, as everyone knows, from Boeing, from McLaren, yeah. The advancements of the Advanced Wellbeing Research Centre down in the Don Valley. There's a lot happening in Sheffield and there's a lot to be optimistic about. And we very much wanted to keep that theme going for the conference. So the speakers themselves, they are all going to be, their speeches will all be focused on that theme, looking forward to Sheffield's future. So I'm pleased to say the first lineup on the day will be Juliet Healy, who's right, an agent, yep, of the Bank of England. And Juliet will be painting the picture of the overall economy from a local, regional and national perspective. Yes. So very much, you know, telling businesses, what does it look like? What are the forecasts, and how can you as a business owner, how can you plan effectively over the next coming months?
Now, she'll bring a really interesting perspective then, thinking about local, regional economy and the national economy as well, and how we can all plan. And of course, we've talked on this programme actually about the fact that obviously the bank's Monetary Policy Committee, for example, they meet monthly and set interest rates. And their last meeting, once again, it was interest rates were held, but it was widely reported that they're likely to rise. And Mark Carney, the governor of the Bank of England, did a radio interview In which he said, when interest rates rise, he then corrected himself to say, if interest rates rise, but it is expected. It's going to be, I think, a valuable opportunity then for local businesses to hear this perspective that Juliet can offer, and perhaps a little bit of sort of future scanning as to the economy and how what people can prepare for. So she's kicking things off.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
What's next then?
So what's next after Juliet's painted the picture of the economy? We're going to move to Jill Davies, who's the chief executive of Westfield Health.
Yes,
and what Jill's going to focus on, really, the title of her speech is leading the way as a Sheffield business. So if your listeners are not familiar with Westfield, a very proud business to be based in the city of Sheffield, they've got a well-established history. Previously they were based on Division Street, and they've moved from those premises now to the newly created Westfield House, which Indeed. Is on Charter Row. And I think really that, you know, that marks significant investment into the city of Sheffield. Westfield as a business, they could have located anywhere in the country, to be absolutely honest, but they didn't. They chose to remain in Sheffield, and that's an important aspect.
Not only in Sheffield, in the city centre as well.
In the city centre as well, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's a key part, and Westfield House offers so much as well, just beyond that, of offices for Westfield Health.
Yes.
I don't want to ruin, obviously, Jill's speech on the day, but they offer an incubation centre as well there for health and wellbeing companies.
Yes, and in fact, we've trailed that on the show. We've said social enterprises in the health and wellbeing sector have been invited to apply to be part of that incubation space. So great. Well, it'll be really good to hear from Jill again at the event next week. I'm going to rush you.
Yeah.
What else is coming up?
Sorry, I'll try and make this a bit quicker for you. You can tell how excited we are, obviously, about the lineup of the event and the speakers we've got. So we'll then be joined by Chris Husbands, Sheffield Hallam University. Yep. So he's going to be talking about connecting Sheffield business to growth and prosperity.
Yep.
We'll then be joined by our Director General, Adam Marshall, from the British Chambers of Commerce.
Okay.
And he's going to be talking about Brexit, devolution and beyond.
Yep.
We'll then be joined by Paul Griffiths, who's Managing Director of HS2 Phase 2, and he's going to be talking about connecting Sheffield's future. So no doubt a very topical subject from Paul to speak about there.
Yeah, a bit of a need to know subject there again.
Absolutely.
And a contentious one for lots of people. I mean, there's been significant debate around this, and the Chamber itself has put the case forward for where you and where Richard believe the station should be located and the route should be located. So it'd be interesting to hear from Paul.
Absolutely. A lot of background work has been put into HS2 and the debate as well, equally a contentious one. I think now it's a case of, right, you know, we've got the location sorted, it is confirmed. So we need to think about, right, what does this mean, not only for Sheffield, but obviously the region's future now. So certainly, you know, the aim of having Paul present at the conference is he can talk around that, and he can talk about, obviously, the positives and what really HS2 is going to bring for the city and the region.
Okay, super, great. And what else? We've got a couple of other things in the event.
We have as well. We're going to finish the event with one last panel debate as well, which will be held by sponsors City Fibre. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be looking at harnessing Sheffield's digital future. So that will be led by Lee Bramall, who is kindly going to be comparing the entire event for the day as well. Mm-hmm. So I won't reveal any more on the panel, but looking forward to harnessing Sheffield's digital future. So with an emerging, a growing creative digital sector that is in Sheffield, I think something that's wholly relevant not only to that sector, but also businesses as a whole as well.
Okay, grand. Super. Well, I'll be at the event myself next week, so I'll be able to bring a perspective back on air next Friday, and I'm sure I'll see lots of listeners there. There's a challenge as well and being unveiled.
There is a challenge, and I'm very pleased you've touched upon that, Jamie. So Gripple are launching the 10-10 challenge at the conference itself.
And I'm going to give you 10 seconds to cover it.
Well, okay, so it's...
20, I'll be generous.
Thank you, Jamie. So I think I'll probably need all of those 20 seconds. So the 10-10 challenge is 10 KPIs, so key performance indicators that are relevant to business, and it's looking to improve on those 10 KPIs by 10%. And if you do that, as a business, obviously you'll have a stronger organisation at the end of it. The idea on the day of the conference is that businesses sign up to the Gripple 10-10 Challenge, and further details will be launched about how we will support and guide people through that process.
Businesses will then be supported and guided through that. Well done, you kept it 20 seconds. That was great. You hit that KPI for me, thank you. So Tom Sutton, Sheffield Chamber of Commerce, thanks so much for joining me in the studio today. Time flies when you're having fun. We'll have to get you back on the radio again. But Tom is Head of Corporate Partnerships and Membership, Sheffield Chamber of Commerce. Now, Tom, I'd like you just to finish by telling people the website address for the Connect Sheffield event, so anyone who wants to go can find out more details there.
Absolutely. So the Connect Sheffield website address is connectsheffield.scci.org.uk.
Superb. Check it out. Go along. The event's next week, next Wednesday. Well worth going along to. Tom Sutton, thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Jamie.
This has been Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. We've been talking about mental health and well-being in the workplace, and we've been talking about the Sheffield Business Awards, and we've been talking about the Connect Sheffield event. We'll be back on air next Friday, so tune in then, but don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live, our fantastic folk music programme, thank goodness it's folk, from 10 through to noon, so stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening today. Thanks very much indeed to my guests, Tom Sutton, Rob Lawson, Penny Raven and Johnny Douglas. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Sangeeta, in the studio as sound engineer. We're going to play out with a track of music that I played last week. So good, I'll play it again. This is Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds, Borderline.
This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.